Hey guys, what is up? This is Yannis and welcome to the Empowered Entrepreneur Podcast. Today we have here with us Artur. Artur, he's an incredible person. He's an entrepreneur as well. He's having the blog that you might already know, menprovement.com. And he's also a person who is obsessed with productivity, habits, and self-improvement. And we're going to discuss about some really cool stuff today. So welcome and let's start with you, Artur. So for the people that don't know you, who are you? What do you do? And give us your story.
All right. So my name is Artur. I have a website called menprovement.com. And by the name of it, you can kind of guess what it's about. It's about self-improvement for men specifically. And this is a place where I would like it to be a place where you could go and have a right understanding where you should take your life. But because what I see happening right now is that there's a lot of confusion in the market. So a lot of guys, let's say, have financial problems and they would, you know, hear about RSD, for example, which is a great company. I love them. But they would, let's say, jump into trying to get better with girls. And what I try to provide is sort of a structure where you could really identify what is the sticking point in the grand scheme of things in your life, and work on that first. So this is my baby. This is where I take care of. And the way I went to it is that there was this guy called Sean Russell. And Sean, basically, he started that website way back in 2014. And he basically needed help at some point in his life. And because I was sort of a part of his Facebook group for quite some time, and I always wanted to have this sort of financial freedom and be the digital nomad and all that kind of stuff, I thought this is going to be a great opportunity to enter into this world, because you sort of have to have some sort of mentors, right? You can't really do it by yourself. I mean, you could with help of courses and YouTube, but it's just definitely going to be much harder than having an actual real person guide you through this. So yeah, back in 2016, I went to Thailand because this is where Sean was. And I just started helping him out. And basically what started to happen is he had some problems with his health. And over the course of about 6 months, I sort of, from an assistant, got promoted into the actual person behind Menprovement. So this is, you know, it was kind of unexpected, and he sort of left this website to me. And ever since, I'm taking care of it while he's taking care of his health, which is his number one priority right now. And it's been quite some time. It's been like 2 years. So he's slowly recovering. And yeah, it's been pretty awesome, because obviously having a income online is something that I believe everyone wants, because it does give you a certain level of freedom. It removes all sort of bullshit, like having a boss that you hate or coworkers that you hate. But it does give you a lot of other responsibilities that you may not understand, because a lot of this entrepreneurial lifestyle is sort of painted sometimes in a very rosy-like way, where, you know, all you see is just people drinking coconuts on the beach with their laptops. And that's not it at all. I literally think that when you see pictures like that, those guys just got on the beach, got their coconuts and got their laptops out for the picture. And then when it's time to work, they don't do it on the beach, because this is the least productive environment you can imagine. So there's a bit of a rosy sort of colorful thinking that you may not expect. And I guess this is what we're going to talk about, like how to actually make this happen and all sorts of hacks and mindsets and ways you could approach this whole problem of staying productive and staying on top of your shit and not letting your mind sort of control you and get you back into those old ways of thinking that may not work when you are actually responsible for the thing that you're trying to build here. So that's my answer. Right.
No, it's an interesting story and very, very enlightening. My question to you is, Because at some point you mentioned, you know, it's not how other people think it is, and you're not just chilling at the beach doing nothing. So I'd love you to elaborate a little bit more regarding the struggles. Okay, you as an entrepreneur, what were the things that you had to deal against? What were the things that you had to, you know, struggle, and how did you manage to overcome? Because many entrepreneurs that are listening or watching to this video podcast right now, they just are like, you know, in complete chaos. They're just trying to do something more and they can't. So how did you manage to overcome your struggles?
Okay, so yeah, for everyone who's listening to this, I don't want to position myself as some sort of guru, but a person who kind of been through that struggle over and over again. And every time I fall, I sort of find a better way of doing it the next time. And I'm sure I'm going to fall slightly less in the future and gonna keep refining the ways I find to do it better and better. But since I've been on it for about 2 years, I think I've gotten relatively good at managing myself, because at the end of the day, it's about basically managing yourself. So I think the first problem that strikes once you start to do something is that you become really confused about what to focus on, right? Like, should I start to like build my Instagram, or should I like focus all my energy on like choosing the perfect domain name or YouTube? And there's just so many ways you can take it. So for like a half year, I was just trying to like do one thing. I did it a little bit, but then I saw that other part of the website that is equally important starts to fall off. And then I jump on that, and then I do that a little bit, and then something else would start to fall off, and I jump on that. So it's really basically what the only way I found to counteract this was by systematizing myself and systematizing my thinking and removing everything that doesn't really contribute to my focus. So what I mean by that. So let's say I've identified that there's different parts of the business. So let's say there's SEO, there's social media, there's, you know, what else there is to the business, the email marketing. I'm not sure what your guys are usually focused, probably some sort of digital business, right? So the components are pretty much the same. But you really want to see it as a system of interconnected parts that you basically... having being a person and having a limited amount of energy and units of time and energy, you can laser focus this one particular part of the business that is of the most importance at the given moment. So when you're just starting out, because I think majority of the audience is just sort of starting out, I guess you want to see the big picture, because that's going to prevent the confusion of, oh, maybe I should do this, maybe I should do this. And you can study a little bit of each, what each part does and how SEO, for example, plays into the whole bigger picture. And then from that understanding, you can channel all your energy into this one thing while fully understanding how it contributes to the bigger vision that you're trying to build for yourself. So that's like a short answer. We can become very granular with this, but maybe you could ask me some more specific questions for that.
Okay, so let's go like that, because I did like a live on the Facebook group and it was really interesting because many people agree with this. The importance of tracking what happens in your business in terms of numbers, in terms in a spreadsheet and everything, right? So what are some of your, let's say, systems that you have in place in order to make sure that, you know what, these are like the five steps on my funnel. How can I optimize them and adjust them even better so I can get most amount of the results? So what's kind of your methodology to systematize and lead to excellent everything?
Okay. So, I take this whole idea of systematizing and measuring shit super seriously. And every Sunday, I basically have like a ritual where I look at every, like I have different dashboards for different things. So let's say there's a financial dashboard, there's a dashboard for SEO, there's a dashboard for traffic. And once you identify what is your goal, and usually when you're starting out, it probably should be, well, acquiring the right skills and probably making money as fast as possible if you're in a cash flow sort of business, well, let's say some sort of services. So that highly depends on the goal, what's going to be measured, right? Because you have the KPIs, key performance indicators. So you want to figure out what is the relevant measurements for what you're trying to achieve. And at least once a week, you basically go into that dashboard that you built for yourself with those KPIs. And you see if you're trending upwards or you're stagnating or you may be going down. And once you identify that, what you're able to do all of a sudden is you're basically feeding your brain the right data. Sometimes it can be a little bit painful because like, oh, my business is going down. But the good thing about it is that you're able to identify the storm way before it actually blows up in your face, and you're not oblivious to those things. So if you go at least once a week and analyze where things are heading, then all of a sudden you have the right sort of intuition of how to calibrate it to go back up. So maybe you can identify that your traffic is down, or that you're not making as much money as you wanted to. And let's say your goal for the week is to make $1,000 and you made like 500. So once you have those bits and pieces of data, you really are start to figure out how to solve those individual problems rather than having to deal with this confusion. Yeah.
That's incredible. And, you know, I see more and more things that we have in common, man, because I also have, you know, spreadsheets and I track everything. And I think it's super important. And many people, you know, just mock me for having spreadsheets and tracking everything. But in reality, it's just a numbers game, right? Numbers never lie. You see everything going in front of you. And now, you know, you are aware of what needs to change in order for you to go to your end results. So that's a big one. Another thing which is really important, and you mentioned about it before, is having a vision. Mm-hmm. So, and I see many people, many entrepreneurs that don't have a vision and they just do things because they want to have money or because they want something that they, but they don't really know what it is that they want. So what are some practical tips maybe that you can give to people in order to create or redefine and restructure their vision?
Okay, so that would take a little bit of a deep dive into yourself. So for me to really clarify my vision, this actually happened quite not that long ago, because I was sort of drifting and trying to make my improvement better, but I didn't really know what I mean by that. But it wasn't until, I think, February, like properly, where I was forced to be by myself for about a month. Right, I cut out everything, every possible distraction, and I was sitting by myself for a month and trying to work on this whole website properly with zero distraction. So the first thing would be to do a deep dive with zero other influences that could, let's say you see those guys like flying the private jets and stuff, and you're like, oh, I'd like a piece of that. But then your main motivation is money, which never works well, because that means that you're not really love what you do. And all your work is to work for money. And if that's your primary concern, you may not see the money for quite some time and you're going to get bored and sort of, you're not going to see the money for quite some time. You're going to get bored and burned out really fast. So that's the first thing, that the deep dive is pretty important to figure yourself out. Am I doing it just for money or for status, or am I trying to, like, what's the actual meaning of what I'm trying to deliver to the world? Like, what's your why? Like, because people usually buy the why, mm-hmm. not the what, according to Simon Sinek. And I totally believe that. So your big why is pretty important for your own sort of emotional investment. Because if you're trying to make a bunch of money, it's like, if there was a time where you're trying to hire some people, and it's like, you know, I'm hiring you because we're trying to buy me a Lamborghini, right? It's not like, it's not very convincing. But if you're trying to change the world in so even some small way and trying to contribute, and all of a sudden you have this driving force behind you that is, a side effect of it will be money, but it's just going to be much bigger than you even and your bank account. So having the right reasons that are not superficial from the start, I think is pretty cool, because it gives you that emotional drive. and now how to structure it. I use the, and there's not no affiliate here, but the productivity porn tool that we've already discussed is the Get Plan. And the Get Plan is a tool that is just, for me, it's so intuitive because the way I structured it is on the very top. I know you can't see it, but when you go and check out Get Plan, you'll know what I mean. There's the vision, right? So there's the vision of each part of my life that it's like the ideal, right? The perfect, the most like crazy, almost like Dan Bilzerian sort of things that you might sound laughable to someone who's like, whoa, this guy's like full of himself or something. But I have this like written down as absolute desires that I would love to happen. And it may happen, maybe will, maybe won't, but that's going to be a driving force to then sort of derive the actual tangible goals from. And so there's this big bit, and then this big bit, which is the vision of desires, is then separated into different segments of your life. So we have, the way I see it is like growth and spirituality. Then we have like relationships, you know, with people in general and dates and girls. Then you have business and finances, and then you have fun and adventure. Like you can dissect it the way you want, but basically you want to have some major vision for each part of your life. And that's what I basically done then. So there's this big vision with all those like crazy dreams, and they're all dissected and kind of chunked into those different domains of life, which is, you know, the business and dating and stuff. And then it descends down. So we have like the 2019 goals, and there's a bunch of very tangible things that can be measured that I would basically work on for the rest of the year. And I can see them very clearly what they are. So let's say one of my goals today for 2019 would be to become the full stack entrepreneur, I called it, which is basically a guy who understands the whole picture of entrepreneurship. And I have a specific type of books and specific type of courses that I'm going to take throughout the year. And I have, and I basically, you know, once I read those, apply those things, I would consider myself the full stack entrepreneur, so to speak, or make a specific amount of money. And then, you know, and how this is going to happen, and it's kind of written down. And then this descends down and still within the framework that I discussed, which is like the dating goals, the business goals and stuff. It's all within the same framework. Then we have the three month goals. And then this is derived from a yearly goals, right? And same segment, like the business goals, the life goal, the growth goals, the dating goals and stuff. And then it's sort of, you can see the picture, right? You have the big vision, but it's slowly, the timeline is being closer and closer and all the way to today. And you really have to be like super structured about it and like having those deadlines to it in this big like macro vision and micro to the very day and each week what you do. And you have to see the breakdown of each, because otherwise you're just gonna fall off. There's no way. Because if you just have this big vision that is first fluffy and really not concrete, and you don't see the timelines of what things are happening when, then it's just not gonna happen. I tried it for a long time. And only when I became really structured and measured things first and foremost and have this broken down in those timelines, then things started to happen. And one more caveat on that is that I don't focus on all different parts of life, let's say dating and business and stuff. I only pick one or two at a time. So maybe for 2019, it's just going to be business and finances. And I know that this will allow me to all of a sudden travel and have all sorts of cool adventures and do the dating part maybe in the next year. So, you know, this sort of clarity brings a lot of motivation and removes so much confusion that I guess like action is almost going to happen by default. Yeah.
That's really nice. I agree. And it really pains me realizing, you know, entrepreneurs around the world that just think that creating a vision, doing goal setting, and all of those things are woo-hoo. And, well, I'm an entrepreneur. Like, I shouldn't be doing goal setting. Like, but in reality, when you really have this roadmap, then it's easier for you to just take the action effortlessly and have this infinite motivation that just helps you, propels you, accelerates you. And it's super true that what you just mentioned, which leads me to another part. Because yeah, someone has motivation, someone has the why, they have the mindsets in place and everything. But then it's about time to start taking action. And this is where productivity starts coming in. And you know, for the people that are listening to this right now, we have many conversations on Messenger with Artur, just discussing specific stuff on productivity and discussing about productivity porn. So he's really our guy about that. So yeah, Artur, how do you define productivity? First of all, that's my question. Let's start with it.
Yeah. So I believe a productive day is a day where you've set an intention to do something, and you actually did it the way you formulated this in your mind. Which usually what stops us is either distractions or trying to do too many things at once and being totally unrealistic about, you know, our level of our ability to accomplish those things, because you have like 5 to 10 different things on your to-do list and you're like pumped up, and then you turns out in the middle of the second thing or the first thing that it's been already half a day, then you truly are like shooting down your morale, and it really eradicates your confidence in yourself that you can actually pull it off, because day after day you're failing yourself. But if you're becoming more realistic and you choose the right things that contribute to your, you know, weekly goals, monthly goals, 3 month goals, and yearly goals, and you can sort of just choose one thing that is like the main thing, and then maybe some smaller two things to work on and actually execute on that, is just going to be a huge confidence builder, and slowly you're going to go into this upward spiral with this. Yeah, so that's how I define productivity.
Okie dokie. So how should someone start with productivity?
Sorry again?
How should someone start with increasing and improving his productivity?
Let's try to define this. So what is the biggest enemy of productivity, you think?
Nice question. I would say distractions.
Distractions, right.
And too many things, too many to-dos.
Yeah. So if you invert distractions,
boom, nice.
You have productivity, right? Basically, if you're not distracted, when you don't have your phone all with you all the time, when you're laser focused on the thing that you wanted to do, then you have productivity by default. You don't even have to do productivity. You're just basically doing the thing you set out to do. So now how to do it is another question, because it seems easy, but it's usually much harder to do. So what I've tried to do is I try to eliminate as much as I can by eliminating things from my environment that don't contribute to my focus, structuring my like everything that I can basically take and remove that is not contributing to what I need to do, is what I do. So I don't have I don't have my phone. When I work, I don't see my phone. I always kind of put it out. So it's not like, cause even if you see it, your brain is still kind of scanning and it's creating the trigger for you to reach for it. Right. So that's a great thing, because all of a sudden you don't have to use your limited amount of willpower to constantly fight that urge. Then what else do I do? I do so many different things. Yeah. So then let's say you have the Pomodoro method. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's say if you see yourself as not being good at focusing, you definitely want to maybe start with 25 minutes. And there's apps for that. There's all sorts of different tools. You can download probably from Google Chrome App Store. There's a great app. I think it's just called Pomodoro or something. There's so many, and they're all pretty good. So you basically set that thing up and your main objective is to just do focus for 25 minutes and sort of build it up like a muscle. Another great thing is to start meditation. And meditation is, you know, a thing that is almost like a gym for your mind, where you build your willpower through just doing nothing and trying to regain control over your thoughts. And then it builds a lot of awareness, because all of a sudden you catch yourself doing all this stupid shit, like going on Facebook. And maybe before you would like be on Facebook for 10 minutes, scrolling down your wall and not being even aware of this. And like, kind of you wake up from like some weird haze, and then you're like, shit, what am I supposed to do? You know? And you just catch yourself doing that much earlier, because you do have a habit of meditation. Another thing I think is basically getting your health and sleep. I could not understand the sleep part for the longest time, because I was trying to go out and be, you know, the guy who is good with girls and work on my dating skills and work. And for me, it wasn't that good, because I really underappreciate the value of having a solid 6 to 8 hours of sleep. So now I track my sleep. I make sure that I go to sleep at the same time, and I wake up at 4:30, which then is followed by the morning routine, which we can talk about later. But yeah, so getting your health properly set up. So you want to eat good shit, because then if you eat junky food and don't sleep, like you basically, you're in a way, you are a mechanism that has to be maintained like a car, right? And you have to remove the oil and change different parts to keep it working. So you definitely want to have a routine and be looking at those things like sleep and food, because for the maintenance on and the right balance of different hormones that go into you being able to focus, those things are super important. I mean, there's so many other things I could talk about, but those are the main things that come to my mind now.
Mm-hmm. No, it's very interesting, and I agree with every single one that you said. And, you know, sometimes it really pains me to realize and see people just doing things from the wrong place, or even when they do things from the right place, not being able to, you know, evolve to their full potential simply because they have their phones, you know, over here. Or, and I agree. And the last thing that I want to agree again is, you know, the importance of sleep. For example, do I have it? Yeah. For example, you know, Swan is like, for the people that are listening, these are blue light filter glasses. And because as an entrepreneur, you are going to spend so much time in front of a computer, working on the business, sending emails, doing calls and everything, you need to have some kind of system to also protect your sleep cycle. And yeah, good. You mentioned also meditation, which goes hand in hand with morning routines and daily habits as well. Yeah. And I know this is something that you are really passionate about. This is one of the things you're really good at. So why do you have a morning routine, and what are the benefits that you've seen so far? Let's start with that, and then we can proceed to habits.
Okay. Yeah. So morning routine, man, that's so important. Like, I cannot stress this enough. And why is it important? Because it really grounds you, and it allows you to start your day on your own terms rather than react to the first thing that comes along. And then this creates an avalanche of just reactivity. And then you're going through your day on someone else's agenda. And I'm sure you've heard this from other people, that you should, like, you're not supposed to, let's say, check your email and stuff. And I mean, it's true to an extent, because the way you start your day is sort of how the rest of your day will unfold. So those first few hours are very critical. And that's why the morning routine is super important. And you want to maximize this time, because I'm sure before you knew about the concept of morning routines, maybe you woke up and then you tried to do something and just couldn't make yourself focus, and you couldn't just... You know, just things were not flowing properly. But when you like start the day right, the rest of it just tends to fall into place much easier. So that's why. And now, what is my morning routine?
Mm-hmm.
Asked. So I mean, it evolved over the years, but recently, since my major focus is on the business, everything is basically aligned around that. So all the habits, everything, the morning routines, everything's aligned to this one sort of goal. So what I do now is I wake up at 4:30, which is pretty early. But if you go to sleep early, then it's, you know, the same amount of hours. But I like the fact that it's still sort of like waking up with the day. The sun starts to go up in the same time roughly, and everyone else is asleep. So I like this aspect of it. Then I go have some coffee. And with the coffee, I try to do some, I just start watching a course that I just try to put some good information in my brain that sort of reminds me of like all those good mindsets and stuff. So either it's going to be a video from some entrepreneur that's doing really well, or a course that I'm doing just to wake up with the coffee. And it's something that doesn't require too much work as well. And you're sort of passively sipping in and taking in the good stuff, downloading the good stuff into your brain. So after doing that, I would go and do some meditation. And I have like this whole meditation routine where I downloaded the app called Waking Up with Sam Harris. It's a great, great app. So he has only like 10-minute meditations, which are pretty short, and they're really, yeah, they seem to be efficient. Like you get a lot done in than 10 minutes. So I used to do 20 minutes, but now I do 10 minutes. Then I have this whole visualization thing where I basically have on my phone the visualization for like each of those goals I have. And then I have like a little bit of a gratitude journal. And then I have like a affirmations. So yeah, you basically, and in my opinion, it's important to do those after the meditation, because the meditation is almost like cleaning the plate. Like you really get into that zone where your mind is really receptive to take those things in. So after the visualizations and stuff, I would go either to the gym or go running. And I would then after that take a shower. That I alternate between like a cold and hot shower. And usually, definitely you want to finish with cold water, because you are really like alert and awake after that. And then you're ready to roll. And by the time 9 to 10, I'm pretty much ready to work. And I feel fresh and awake. And I didn't eat anything, because I try to do a bit of a intermittent fasting, which I start eating at 12:30. I also noticed that when you eat, a lot of your energy goes to digesting your food, and then you either want to have a nap or you can't focus as well. So having this a bit of a discomfort in your stomach is not that big of a deal, in my opinion. And all your energy is like where it's supposed to be when you're working. So. And today, by the way, is Saturday, and I do a 24 hours fast on Saturdays. So I didn't have anything today. And tomorrow is, after I break the fast, it's a cheat day. So I'm going to have a pizza.
Yeah. Nice one. Nice one. Yeah. Dude, you know, intermittent fasting is like, it's such a cool thing. And it changed my whole... you also, you know, have some more time because you don't really have to prepare the meal and eat the meal and everything. But it also makes everything more, I don't know, like I have some extreme clarity and I'm so focused when I'm doing IF. And, you know, fasting for 24 hours as well is epic. But yeah, everything else you mentioned, affirmations, meditation, cold showers, all of those things are amazing. Which brings me to the question that most probably many of the entrepreneurs that are listening to this might have. Yes, but Arthur, I can't stay consistent. Like I'm trying, but after a week, I just can't. Like I go back to my old habits. So would you advise the entrepreneurs who are trying to make those morning routines to work, but they can't?
Yeah, well, so it comes down to a bunch of things, in my opinion. First is understanding that there will gonna be a time where first you're gonna be excited about it, then it's gonna be like kind of meh, and then if you push through, it's gonna be okay. That's one thing. It usually takes like, some people say 21 days, some people say 66 days, some other people say it takes like a year. It all depends on the complexity of the habit. So that's one thing. So understanding that there's going to be this part where you're excited and there's going to be this part where you're not so excited and you kind of, since you committed, you want to keep going. And there's another thing is that you're not supposed to really take too many new things at once. Because if you try to like implement, let's say you've never done any meditation, never been to the gym, never done any of the things I said or other things, and you try to just implement the whole thing, definitely you're going to burn out no matter what, because it's just too much change, too much shock to the system at once.
Yes.
So you want to probably change one variable at a time. And yeah, well, the first thing to take care of is your sleep, because if you have your sleep down really well, then everything else is going to be easier and implementation of new habits is going to be easier. Then the second habit I would focus on would be meditation, because this gives you a lot more control over your thoughts and just managing yourself becomes much easier. So those are two big habits that I would first and foremost focus on. And you always want to be aware like why you do those things. That's why you have those vision that you look at every day, which gives you like, you connect this very moment of you doing the habit to like you, like the best version of yourself that is going to be a result of this habit, maybe a year, 2 years, 5 years from now. And I enjoy those things. There's like, I love meditation, love going to the gym, but it definitely wasn't always the case. But once I understood how all those things, different things interconnect, I just don't see any other option at this point. And another thing is I also use my phone proactively in a way, and I have it set up. So there's this thing called Habit Hub. So let's say you put your habits in here, mm-hmm. right? And then you create those little chains. And if you've done your habit successfully, then you, let's say it's Friday. I hit a button on Friday and I put it as green, and it tells me that I've done it. And then I can, at the end of the week, review how am I doing with all my habits and where I'm like falling off, because you're never going to be perfect with everything. But let's say if my sleep is fucked, then I'm like, okay, from next week on, put some more focus on the sleep, and then maybe something else will fall off, and you just keep calibrating it. Yeah. And so that, and then on top of that, like you want to give yourself a reward, because if you read the book, Habits, I'm not sure the name of it, but there's a cue to a habit. So the cue would be our phone and seeing the list of the habits I'm going to be committed on. That would be the cue to do the habits and the ideal vision of yourself. And then you do the actual habit. And ideally, your brain sort of expects a reward for it. So at first, since maybe the habit itself is not as rewarding, maybe you want to give yourself some sort of reward externally. Maybe that's, I don't know, a coffee or a joint. Nah, not joint. Yeah, but some sort of reward that you just basically keep in a loop until to the point where you reach that critical mass where you actually start seeing the results of the habit. And then all of a sudden it's a no-brainer. I'm going to fucking go to the gym because like I feel great. I see my body's looking so much better and just becomes like a self-reinforcing cycle. So you get out of the bad self-reinforcing cycle and you get on this good one, but it takes like 3 months to see the results sometimes. But once you're there, you're bought in and you don't really need all those other things that I mentioned, like the reward. Yeah.
Boom. Boom. That was a nice one. I like the fact that you said about tracking habits. I personally track my habits on a spreadsheet because I like spreadsheets. But yeah, I wasn't aware of this app as well. I might give it a try for sure, actually.
Habit Hub.
Habit Hub, H-U-B.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, and I have like the list of 33 different habits that I've tried throughout my life because I'm like experimented with different things. And let's say there's some habits that I'm not going to do all 33 of them, but there's certain habits that will help me with the goals I have now, which is everything around work. And I'm just going to selectively focus on those habits that are supporting the main thing. They're like going to be like those little pillars. So meditation, affirmations, visualization, going to the gym, all those things I have to keep there because they support my body and therefore they support my mind. and therefore they support my thinking, which then translates into better decisions, which then translates into better action taking. So, yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Now I want to ask you some questions that I ask every single guest on the podcast, and I want to see, you know, what kind of answers you will give me. My first question is, who is your role model, number one? And if you ever meet him or her in real life, what would you ask or say?
I mean, I have a lot. So which one I choose? Do I choose like the first one, the first serious one, or the most recent one?
The first one who pops in your mind, like role model.
Okay, so the first one popped into my mind was the very first one that sort of initiated this whole transition in my life. Was Tyler from RSD. I love the Tyler.
Owen,
yeah. Yeah, okay. Because like I was always a little bit into self-improvement, and I was always a little bit into pickup. But he showed me that those worlds are actually one. And then he also had those speeches that were like really inspiring, and they seemed like very authentic, because what I didn't like about pickup at the time, it was very contrived and like super tactical, and the self-improvement was like sort of like, oh man, it sounds like a lot of work. But when you get those two things together, it seemed like a perfect match, because like then you get laid and then you work on yourself. It's so good. So yeah, probably Tyler. But there's way more, obviously, that I could mention that are actually more important for me at this stage I'm in. But Tyler, okay.
Fair enough. Okay. And what would you ask him or tell him if you see him?
I mean, I would just tell him, thanks, man, for sharing all this stuff you shared, because it's really changing lives. And I'm just so happy that you know, this thing kind of came to me at the right time, at the right place. I'd just give him a lot of thanks for what he's doing.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay. Favorite quote?
It's probably going to be the one. It's going to be weird because I don't remember the actual quote, but I do identify with it. It's the man that like Steve Carell, I think, is the guy behind it. But what is the quote? So there's going to be like suffering in improving yourself, because man is the marble and the sculptor.
All right. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, remember that one?
Yeah. I know. I don't know how to say it, but I know exactly what you mean. You're both the marble and this, yeah,
sculptor of yourself. So, So you're like the creator of yourself. So it's gonna be bound to be uncomfortable, and like it's like part of the process. But yeah, it's also very, because of it, it's also very meaningful to you, because of a bit of pain that you kind of inflict on yourself. But it's like a good pain. Yeah. But anyway, so that would be the quote.
Mm-hmm. Favorite book? I know it's a hard one because you are a reader, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm reading a lot of business books right now. I'm just going to go with the same way I did with the mentor you asked me, role model. And the first one that really sort of opened up my eyes and came at the right time in the right place was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
Okay, why is that?
It was just, you know, I was always like looking forward to the future that was poorly defined as well. I wanted something, but I didn't really know what. And then when I kind of read those, like just the way the book is written and the way that this guy sort of allows you to sort of give yourself a break and just understand that the way things are is actually not too bad. If you can like focus on the present moment, you're actually going to do much better than constantly stressing and thinking of the past, maybe your ex, and you're like, oh my God, it used to be so much better. And you may be anxious about the future. And it just like, if you can focus on the now, things kind of unravel. And you obviously want to focus on now with the vision of the future. But this book really sort of helped me to get my shit together, yeah, in a weird way. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, I want you to imagine that something really bad happens and you lose everything, every single thing that you have. You lose everything. What would be your first actions in order to go back on track and start rebuilding everything that you lost?
Okay, but I do still have my memories and everything and skills.
Yeah, you have your memories, your experiences, but you just lost all the money, all the websites, all the articles, everything.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so since I have experiences and all the systems and understandings, what goes into creating a website is there, it's just going to be much easier. So if, let's say, I don't have Man Improvement anymore, all I'd have to do is inject the systems that power Man Improvement that actually are on Google Drive. Do I lose them too?
No.
Let's say no. Okay, so it would be just a matter of buying a domain, learning the paid advertising really well, and but shit, I don't have money now. Fuck. So I'd have to go to a job, I guess, and get some job, and get the money going first. Once I have a decent income, because that's another thing with entrepreneurs, they want to lose their job as fast as possible. And sometimes it could be a good idea and sometimes not really, because let's say if you're, you still want to have a base, right? You, it's almost like playing World of War, like Warcraft. Have you ever played Starcraft or Warcraft?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's almost like when you're trying to attack your enemy's base, right? It always have to come from your own base having a good economic growth. So the only way you can attack and expand is because your growth of your economy at your base, money's going and you have enough money for all your units that you're going to use to fucking destroy this other dude. So if you, this is fucked, then all your actions are going to be fucked, because you, your economy and your like personal life is not all over the place. So I definitely would have to take care of the income first and make sure that this is on the right track. And from that point on, I can basically get the paid advertisement and buy a new domain and just get up the lead magnets and yeah, just rebuild Man Improvement under a different name probably.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, it's interesting because I think that the number one move that that any entrepreneur needs to do, and you know, as much as he can, is bringing income. That's the oxygen of the business. And most of us, like, we just think, I'll just save my money one by one, penny by penny, because they're my precious. But no, you should be always bringing more income into the business so that then you can invest that money into your business again, or into yourself again, or into hiring people, etc., etc. So, and I agree that sometimes, yeah, it's a risky but smart but necessary move to burn the boats. But many other times, it's also important to be able to play it a little bit safer so that you will be able to, you know, sustain yourself in the long term and start like as a side hustle that then becomes more, that brings you more income than your 9-to-5 job.
Yeah, so that's the thing, right? You always gonna, like, as an entrepreneur, the very definition of it is a person who, I think, takes, creates something new, but risking a lot, like you is a bearer of a risk. So the risk factor is sort of implied while being an entrepreneur. But what's not stressed enough is that you can't risk so much that you're going to be homeless. You want to manage your risk to a point where you're risking a little bit, but if something is not going to work out the way you want it, you still hedged your bets and you have something to fall back on. Right. So what I would do is, I basically, for anyone starting out, is to look at your costs, like how much you're spending a month, and just cut everything that is unnecessary. Like, just completely, like, if you're, let's say, you see that you're spending money every Friday going out drinking and that costs you, like, I don't know, $50 or something, then just cut this out and have a budget and work within that budget. And then everything over that you can save. So you have this nice little cushion, and then invest money in your business from that point on. But yeah, minimizing your costs is a great way. So And then maximizing, obviously, the profits. But you really need to be aware. For the longest time, I did not know where the money goes. And I would be like living in Bali. And I'm like, eh, I'm not doing anything extravagant. I just go on to a restaurant every day and just like, just money was going pretty fast. And then I would look back and I'd spend so much. I'm like, shit. It's all those things that add up, man. That's why you want to track everything.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah,
I agree. Okay, one more question. I don't know if you are aware of that, but I do have some magical powers, all right? I'm kind of a magician, all right? So okay. When I hit the gong, you go back in time and you meet the young Arthur, an 18-year-old version of yourself. And I want you to tell me what advice you would give to the younger version of yourself, all right? Are you ready?
Okay.
Go back right in time now.
Well, let me see this little Arthur. How little?
18. Let's say 18.
Okay. Don't go to study. Don't go to university. Fuck that shit. And then figure out what you want to do first. And then if the university aligns with that goal, then yeah, then go to university. But if what you can do doesn't necessarily need university, then why would you waste 4 years? And then how do you find out what you want is probably by, yeah, but basically don't do what everyone else is doing, because I think that's the biggest mistake. Everyone goes to university because everyone else is going to university and no one knows why they do that in the first place. So that would be my biggest advice. Figure out what the fuck you want to do and then pursue that. And if you fail, at least you had this experience, and then you can keep trying and trying until you eventually succeed. Then don't get a girlfriend. I mean, you could get a girlfriend, but don't expect it to last forever. I mean, there are exceptions where it does, but yeah, don't get too attached to one girl so early, because you want to have all those experiences that will make you a better person in the future and make your future girlfriend a better girl for you. The better version of you that you're going to develop. Ooh, yeah. And that's it. Okay.
Back in the day. Okay. And my last question, which is the most important question as well for every single person who is watching this podcast or listening to the podcast right now, what would your advice be?
What would be my advice? So I assume entrepreneurs are listening to this.
Yep.
Mostly. Yeah, well, get some friends who are doing what you're doing and are preferably better or like at the higher stage, so you can see what is, you can learn from them. So first get the right social circle. The friends, I mean, you want to be a bit selective with the friends, because like I got rid of all my friends that are not that way. Oh, don't call me again. It was more like, you know, just naturally fell off. But get the right social circle and get the right things in your mind by reading the right books, which is, if you're focused on business, that's going to be a lot of business books. And there's some basic business books that are great, great read that will save you a lot of mistakes that you would normally have to do yourself. And then find out your why, that is deeper than just trying to have the money. Basically get your vision straight by doing that deep dive that I was talking about before. And once you get those three things, I think you're off for a good start.
Perfect. Perfect. Right. I agree. Good. Any last thought, any last topic, any last advice you would like to give to the people listening to this right now?
Yeah, well, on top of the things I said on the last three things, that would be, don't underestimate the importance of tracking things, because that was my major weakness forever. And once I got all those Sunday reviews and then planning the week, then that's really changed a lot, because then you're really operating on the actual what's happening by the numbers, which are not lying, instead of what you wish was happening. or have a vague idea of what's happening. And then having that action grounded in reality allows you to, you know, I'm like, some people are like, oh, I'm like hustling 12 hours a day, but it's like you just, you know, just playing with Facebook for 12 hours a day. Then, yeah, don't do that. Just really make sure that your hustling is actually grounded in the things that you need to be doing. Yeah. And then don't spend too much time on low quality, low value activities. You want to delegate this. But maybe for the future, maybe if you're just starting out, you want to try everything yourself. But yeah, that's roughly going to be it.
Perfect. Dude, so much value. Thank you so much for coming over here today and sharing your insights. So for the people that want to learn more about you, about your work, and about what you, all the impact that you're creating in the world, what is the place for them? What's the best place for them to reach out to you? Where can they find more? How they can come and contact you as well?
All right. So yeah, as I mentioned before, I have a website called menprovement.com. Right now, it looks like a typical self-improvement website, but soon I'm redefining it right now, which is going to be much, much better. So go check it out now, then go check it out 3 to 6 months from now, and you'll enjoy it. And there's probably going to be some sort of lead magnet. The lead magnet might be around habits, or it might be around this whole idea of taking a stock of your life from like a big point of view, and then being able to directly focus on the things that are not working, instead of just, you know, you saw some Tyler video and you're like, oh, now I have to work on girls while your bank account is fucked. Yeah. So check out menprovement.com, menprovement.com.
Epic. Arthur, thank you so much for your time. Guys, make sure to visit menprovement.com. It's an awesome website, awesome blog, some really cool articles, and some, well, a lot of value there as well. Menprovement is writing there regularly. Arthur is writing there regularly. And there are some really cool stuff that you need to check out. In the meantime, if you also want to leave a comment below this video or below that podcast, let us know how you find it. What was the number one lesson you took, and any question you might have, and maybe Arthur and myself, we will also respond to your question. Peace.
Peace.